Let's all say amen. I want to thank all those brothers that have gone before me to make this worship service to our God one that is acceptable unto him, knowing that there are five acts of worship, as the Bible records in Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 47 and verse 42, where Luke wrote those things that those that assembled on that day in worshiping God, how that the Bible records they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's from the word of God, in fellowship, which is giving that which God has blessed them to receive, in the breaking of bread, the communion with our Lord, and also in prayer. And then, as Brother Gulick has led us on this afternoon, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So we want you to know, if you're on the call with us this afternoon, we want you to be as those that have obeyed the Lord. We want you to be saved. We find in the Bible where Jeremiah began that look at worshiping God and serving God when he said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, identified what should be the first priority for those that are seeking to walk, line their steps up with God, when he said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible records that Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in order to see that which God said we should see, we have to be born again. And then, as we said on previously, that those that assembled, they praise God. And so I want to thank you again for being with us on this afternoon as we continue our study in the epistle of James, the epistle or the letter of James. Some refer to it as the gospel of common sense. And so we want to look at the word of God on this afternoon. And again, want to thank Brother Brooks this morning as he preached from Hebrews chapter number 5, and specifically in his teaching on this morning, he made a pivotal point when he said in verse 9 of Hebrews 5, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so that's what we want to talk about on this afternoon when we look at our subject on this afternoon, being obedient to God, the Father. And so we want to make 3 points from the previous lesson. Those that took notes on last week, 3 points from the lesson regarding but if you have respect of person, you commit sin. We wanted to share point number one, everyone is worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. This is the royal law of love. Every human being is worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. And we found from the scripture where James said, it is sinful to show respect of person based on worldly considerations. As the example James gave in our teaching on last Sunday. And finally, we made note in answering to that from Acts chapter 10, where Peter made mention that God is no respecter of person, Acts 10:34. And so on this afternoon, we want to speak as James continued to talk about the gospel of common sense. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. That's the point that James makes in there. And so again, if you're with us this afternoon and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, not a member of the Church of Christ, I will share with you at the close of this message what one must do to become a Christian. But those that are Christians, I'm speaking specifically to you at this time concerning James' letter that was written to those that were Christians, scattered abroad, as James said in his writing in James chapter 1 and the verses number 1. So picking up where we concluded with verse number 9 on last week, let's look at verse number 10, where James says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all the law. James wants us to know that one, to keep the law is to observe carefully with the mind to continue in what is the law of God. And James says, however, if I'm in error in one point, I'm guilty of it all. So one is condemned by all of the law when he violates any portion of it. A lawbreaker is one who breaks the law. The law of God, as Brother Brooks shared on this morning, is to be obeyed. That's the point that James is emphasizing. The law of God is to be obeyed. He said, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law, or you have violated the law. And we have to understand as Christians that laws are in place as a disciplinary tool for the good of mankind. Laws are a disciplinary tool for the good of mankind. When you see on the freeway a speed sign, a speed limit, that's for the betterment of mankind. We should not, again, pick and choose which commands to obey. James says in verse 12, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And the law is simply a rule of action. Speak ye, he say, and so act as one that's going to be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment. James said, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. So we have to understand from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 regarding judgment, we want to live our lives with the mindset from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 concerning judgment, where Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So James wants us to know that we're going to be judged by the law of liberty. And so Paul shared with the Corinthians that we must understand that every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body. So when one submits to the will of God, freedom from sin is obtained. But James says in verse number 13 that we ought to show mercy to others. And so with that, we should show pity to those less fortunate than ourselves. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is number 9, because Jesus said concerning mercy, as James write this letter, Jesus said in Matthew 25 and the verse is 42. Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 42 concerning treatment of others. Jesus said, acknowledge them. He said, for I was a hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. So we have to live a life where to be forgiven, we must forgive others. And sometimes in life, in relationships, sometimes with family members and loved ones, we have difficulty forgiving other people. But understand, your forgiveness is based on your ability to forgive others. God put that in place in Ephesians chapter 4. And the verse is number 32, where Paul said to the Ephesians, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So again, to be forgiven, we must forgive others. I cannot hate on other people, however, yet expect God to forgive me. James says then, as we get to our subject on this afternoon, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. James said, what doeth it profit? Now, what is the benefit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? And when we talk about works in the text that James is talking about, James' works include the commandments of God. So sometimes we say, I have faith and I trust God, but what James now is talking about, if you don't have works, can your faith save him? The question that is clearly asked is, can faith without obedience to the will of God bring salvation to a person? In other words, we're talking about those that try to emphasize faith only. As long as you trust God, as long as you trust God. But what James does now is give a situational reaction regarding the faith only person. And I want to say this to all of us. It's one thing to trust God. It's another thing to do the will of God. Note what James says. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? James said, you have a man or a brother, or a sister that is poorly clothed and without food. And you say to that person, depart in peace or farewell, goodbye, but be warm and feel, or warm, I'll see you later, but warm yourself. And James says, however, you do not give them the help that that person needs. James asked the rhetorical question, what doeth it profit? Conclusion James gives, my subject title today. Even so, faith or belief in God, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. If I believe in God, however, I don't have works, or I'm not obedient to the commands of God, James says, it has no life if it is alone. James says, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. James says, show me thou faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In Philippians chapter 2, and the verse is number 12, we find Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, identifies works. In Philippians 2:12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always, notice the word, obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Notice now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. James discusses someone who may object by being a faith-only person in James chapter 2. One person says, I have faith. You have works. James says, you show your faith by your works. And then he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble or shiver. Now, James says, if you believe in that there is one God, he said, you do well. He also said, know this, that the devil knows that there is one God. And so I want to share for those of us, and hopefully it may enlighten some of us, that there is one God. There is one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the verse is number 4, Old Testament. It was brought out then, Moses did, to those that were Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is but one God. However, there are three persons who possess, the word God means deity or divine nature. There are three persons who possess this divine nature. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the Godhead. Let me share scripture and then explain that so we'll understand that in John chapter 5, First John 5, and the verse is number 7. John wrote then in 1 John 5 and 7, we're talking about the one God. John said, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So you have, when it comes to God, you have the Father, you have the Word, and you have the Holy Ghost. All three of them have the divine nature. They are God. These three are one. Note that the Bible says, and let me show you this, in John first about God the Father, in John chapter 4, and the verse is number 23. I want you to see first that when he talks about the Father is God, has that divine nature about him. The Bible says in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, talking about the Father. They that worship him must worship him, the Father, in spirit and in truth. The God the Father is part of that Godhead that Colossians chapter 2, and the verse is number 9, and we'll look at that. But I want to show you first about God the Father being of that divine nature. God the Father is that divine nature. But then also in John chapter 20, we'll see when Jesus showed himself to Thomas in John chapter 20, and the verse is number 27, the Bible says, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He recognized that Christ, Jesus, was not only his Lord, but also his God. Christ has that divine nature. And then we find in Acts chapter 5, the next chapter over, Acts chapter 5, and the verse is number 3, Peter said these words, saying to Ananias, Acts 5 and 3, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the, notice now, to the Holy Ghost, and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why has thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Note what he said. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. The Holy Ghost is also God, in that it has that divine nature. So that's why when John wrote to those Christians, he said, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So when I read in Colossians chapter 2, and the verse is number 9, talking about Christ, the Bible says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus represented the Father and the Holy Spirit. That was God in a bodily form, and that's why Paul called it the Godhead, which consists of the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And so we need to know that this God is whom we serve. God gave us commandments. And so back in James chapter 2 and verse 20, James says, but will thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. He said, I want you to understand or realize, oh, vain man, that faith without works or faith only is dead, is not capable of producing anything. True faith must be shown in one's actions. So James now offers two biblical case studies for Christians to look at. We'll look at these two cases, and the message will be yours on this afternoon. Note what James says in verse 21 concerning the first biblical case. He said, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Abraham's actions brought about a verdict of not guilty before God. He was justified, approved to be just, accounted to be in a right relationship with God by his works. And that's in Genesis chapter 22. And the verse is number 8 through 12, where Abraham offered up his son in his obedience to God. And so James says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made complete. James said, faith cooperated with his works, and they made Abraham complete. Neither faith or works operate by themselves. Look briefly in Genesis chapter 22. One, some may not be familiar with the passage. In Genesis 22, verses 8, the Bible says, and Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So Abraham, faith was made complete by his works. So James says back in James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. And note now what Jesus says in John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Abraham obeyed God, and God called him a friend. James says, verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. This is the conclusion to be formed from the scriptures, that faith, if it has not works, is dead. And then in verse 25, as we look at the last two verses of this chapter, James says, likewise also was Rahab, the harlot, by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Rahab at one time lived a life opposed to the principles of God. She was a harlot. We said that she was a prostitute. However, she changed and became obedient to the will of God. And so in Joshua, you turn your Bibles there quickly, Joshua chapter number 2, we'll see that what she did was she obeyed God. The Bible says in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 2, then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards you may go your way. So what Rahab did, she obeyed God and hid those messengers of God, hid them, and did that which was right to do in the sight of God. She obeyed God. And so I want you to know that what James does in this, he reaches up high and grabs Abraham, who all those that were Jewish put on a pedestal. Abraham was the father of them all. But then what James also do is go down in the bottom. He goes down in the bottom and he finds someone down there. And he lets them know that anyone is capable of obeying the will of God, no matter what your life has been, no matter what lifestyle you lived before. You simply have to turn to God. That's called repentance. And then be obedient to God. And then as Rahab was identified by James, as he did with Abraham, she was also a friend of God. And so Rahab, again, at one time was not a person that walked with God, did not care during that time about God. However, she changed. She changed. She saw things differently. And so what am I saying to all of us? Our faith must be accompanied by our works. If not, it is dead. We have to turn to God and do the commands of God. And then James closes by saying, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James said, faith without works is as lifeless as the body without the spirit. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. If you're on the call this afternoon and you may not have been living a life in line with God, or you may feel that you have been living a life line with God. Well, we have to obey the commands of God. And the commands that we find as Jesus shared with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3, as I said earlier, is for one to become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, one must obey God. We find in Romans chapter 1, and the verse is number 15. Romans 1:15 is where we'll find our first scripture of note, where the Bible says, So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And the gospel are the three facts, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Not only did he die, he suffered on that cross 6 hours, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. And for that reason, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. It was offered to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So one must, the power to save a person is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but one must be obedient to that gospel. We find Paul shares that with those in Rome in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" I want you to know, if you have not obeyed the Lord according to the Bible, you're still in your sin. And Paul said, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer?" You have to die to sin. Christ died for sin. You died to sin. How does that happen? Verse 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" So one must hear the gospel, the three facts of the gospel of Christ. You must believe the gospel. That's faith. You must repent of your sins. That begins with turning to God. You must confess, according to Acts 8:37, of what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then James says, "Therefore, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death." You have to be water baptized into the death of Christ. Then Paul says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You'll begin a new life. You'll be born again. You'll be a Christian, a child of God, when you finalize that obedience. We're talking about obedience now, the five acts of obedience. Hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and be water baptized for the remission of all your past sin. Then you are a member of the Church of Christ. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. If someone invites you on the call and you would like to obey the gospel, reach out to that person so they can we can assist you with becoming a Christian. Thank you very much for your listening on this afternoon.